Happy Sunday, everyone. Welcome to the smartest guy in the room. I'm not the smartest guy in the room, but I'm Jerry Dempsey, along with Matthew Smith. Hey, Matt.
Yo.
Sunday morning. I'm fucking pumped up for the Bills game. I can't tell you how pumped up I am for this Bills game.
First of all, when the Bills play the Jets in New York, it always scares me for some reason. I don't know why. Second of all, I don't know how much I'm going to watch today. I got a lot going on today, so.
It's just one of those days.
It's one of those days where a bunch of shit just scheduling conflicts just happened and blah, blah, blah.
Well, something that's probably good then is looks to me, and I could be wrong, looks to me like the world is trying to cancel Thanksgiving. Like, I went to Starbucks this morning. I had to get some supplies from the house, so I was up pretty early. Obviously, with the daylight savings, it made it even easier to be up at 4:30 in the morning. But, like, I go into Starbucks to get a coffee, and I already got the holiday cup, and there were Christmas trees everywhere. I had to go to the grocery store, and there was Christmas shit everywhere in that place.
This is a big, first of all, this doesn't bother me. Second of all, this is a big issue with a lot of people that I keep hearing about this year. And I heard about it last year, and I heard about it the year before, and I'm increasingly hearing about it this year. It's a big complaint everybody has. As much of a Grinch that I am most of the year, I actually like this time of year. So I'm okay with the Christmas shit. And on top of that, Thanksgiving is my least favorite holiday. So
Thanksgiving is a little bit of a bullshit holiday. I'm gonna take that attitude as well. I mean, the reality of it is you can find a reason to be pissed off or happy on any given moment of the day.
Well, the thing with Thanksgiving is, I mean, I like the day after Thanksgiving because it's just like a free day off. But like Thanksgiving, I know we're supposed to give thanks, blah, blah, blah. But like, I don't like turkey. I don't like pumpkin anything. I'm not a big fan of the food that goes along with the turkey dinner.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of just waste the whole day waiting for the turkey meal, you know, the Thanksgiving meal. And then it's over like in 20 minutes. You end up feeling like shit because you ate too much.
Yeah.
And like when I was growing up, when we were all growing up, the only game on that day was the Detroit Lions. And, you know, in recent years, the Bills have been playing on Thanksgiving off and on. That's helped make it a little bit more palatable. But I don't know. It's just, to me, it's a waste of a day.
Yeah.
I dig Christmas, though. I dig the whole Christmas holiday. I dig Christmas. I dig the whole period between Christmas and New Year. I like the build up to Christmas. And, you know, the next day after Thanksgiving kicks off the Christmas season officially. So I'm cool with that.
Place I used to work and where my wife still works shuts down between Christmas and New Year's.
Yeah.
And if you are smart with your paid time off, you can wrap a few more days around that and really get like maybe 3 weeks off from work, which back in the day was insane.
Do they count that week as vacation for people?
No, they just shut down.
Yeah, the place I retired from did the same thing. The place I retired from shut down between Christmas and New Year, and it shut down for the last week of July also. And they counted the week in the summer as vacation for everyone, but the week in between Christmas and New Year, they didn't count as vacation, and it was fucking glorious. And I'll tell you what, where I retired from, it had great pay, benefits, blah, blah, blah. But I was coming from the world of journalism where you worked like the worst hours. You worked every holiday. You were calling people on like Christmas and saying, right, you know, bothering their Christmas dinner with their family to interview them about some fucking crime or something like that. You know,
the news had, never stops, man.
No, you had to work weekends. So when I took this job where I retired from, if the only benefit they gave me was that week off between Christmas and New Year's, I would have taken it despite right what on. It paid and despite what the benefits were. So that was a big deal to me.
Yeah. Work blows.
Work does blow.
It's and that's a good segue into our topic today. And interesting topic. You know, you and I, we talk a lot about life and just our experiences and things that everyone shares in common. You know, I'm going to use the word, it's a German word, Schadenfreude. I don't remember. I think the first time I actually consciously remember hearing about it was when I watched The Simpsons, of course. I get a lot of good educational information from them. But Flanders had a store and it was not doing so good. And Homer was at home around the dinner table making fun of it. Yeah, I just remember Lisa was like, "Dad, do you know what Schadenfreude is?" And he's like, "No, Lisa, why don't you tell us?" And, you know, I remember going, "I never heard of that word." And I had to go look it up. Didn't have the internet back then. So I had to look in an actual dictionary. Do people even buy, like, hardcover dictionaries anymore?
good question. You know,
I have one in my house.
I remember, like, people would buy me dictionaries as a gift because I was, you know, I was a writer. And
they didn't think you had one?
What's that? What?
They didn't think you had one already?
No, like, it was just, like, always a gift. Like, you know, they'd always buy
me. If you're
a
carpenter, would people buy you a saw? Like, here, you probably need this.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, my dad was a carpenter. And
people did buy him a level?
People used to get him tools, so.
Did they? Oh, that's cool.
So it's a tool of the trade, but I always enjoyed getting a new dictionary or a new thesaurus. And I have a collection of them.
Do you collect them?
My brother actually collects dictionaries, and he writes about dictionaries in the etymology of words and things like that. He has a whole thing on it. I mean, he's like, I don't know what this word is, but he's a student of that shit.
My brother, when we were little kids, he did a book report on the dictionary, and he ended up getting like a C on it because the teacher questioned whether he actually read the whole book or not. But that was like his whole rub was, he's like, you know, I could just write a brief summary of it and I don't have to read this book at all. It's not even, but it's a book. So I always thought that was kind of like fascinating that his evil little mind would think like that as a young man, probably like in fourth or fifth grade.
Yeah, my brother has like a library at his house full of dictionaries. And like when we used to publish this zine, and there was a section in the zine where he would talk about like words and etymology, and he would refer to some, how these dictionaries define these words. And you know, I'm not into dictionaries, but I always found it kind of interesting that certain dictionaries define words differently. I don't know. We're getting off topic.
Yeah, no topic is too far-fetched in this podcast. Yeah, but, you know, I did some research, and you know what's nice about getting older is you, for me at least, I've just learned to be more accepting of myself. I feel like I was pretty critical of myself a lot of my life, but I was also, you know, it's like that Jekyll and Hyde. Like I always wanted to be me, but I also needed to conform to, you know, whatever was going on around me because I didn't want to totally be a loser. But like taking pleasure in other people's misery, you know, which is what Schadenfreude is. God, once you wake up to that and you start catching yourself at it, you know, you can really think you're an asshole. And that's just me being like, again, self-judgmental or criticizing myself. So I struggle with that because I find myself, like, if someone cuts me off and then something bad happens to them, I'm like happy for some reason. You know, or like, let's just say the Bills win today. I will have some kind of unearned happiness floating around in my system for no real reason because I didn't do anything good.
Well, that's not Schadenfreude if you are happy that the Bills win. Schadenfreude is,
well, the Jets like had to lose, so maybe I'm happy that they lost.
Yeah, you can take delight in Jets fans' misery, but like wanting your team to win, it's like a shameful joy, right? A joy that there should be somewhat shame attached to it, right?
But I mean, like when I was at the store this morning, and you know, the magazines, right? You know, this guy was cheating on this one. You know, you read like People magazine or some of these other, you know, whatever you call these, National Enquirer. You know, there's a lot of misery that just seems to really get people excited. I mean, it must sell these magazines because there's a whole shit ton of them right at the checkout. But a lot of it's based in misery. Like, I don't know. I think your favorite show, or you mentioned it before, like The Real Housewives of somewhere, New York, LA.
I don't
like,
watch
their
that.
Whole lives are miserable.
I don't watch those shows. I don't watch any TV, actually, but you know, I see those shows in passing on social media or shit like that, and I'm thinking, who the fuck is watching this bullshit?
A lot
apparently
of people.
Millions of people, but I think you can divide Schadenfreude, you know. Of course, there's always going to be that directed toward celebrities, you know, or politicians or athletes like Tom Brady. Everyone enjoys that guy's misery, you know.
Well, you know, it's interesting you say that. I had a good friend from the Boston, Massachusetts area, and we were living in, when I lived in Hoboken, he was one of my good drinking buddies. And fucking hated the Yankees. And this was before Red Sox won the first championship. And he was like, you know, oh, I'm a long-suffering, you know, Red Sox fan, yada, yada. And just to see these people, and then when they won, you know, they became the most obnoxious fucking people on the planet with their, they hate us because they ain't us. Remember that?
Yeah.
Remember that catchphrase? Like I could see him becoming more obnoxious, like as a winner. And I don't know, like I wanted to see them lose, and him specifically, like, oh, look at, this is why you shouldn't have won, because you're just an obnoxious jerk.
Well, I mean, you know, again, like when you direct your Schadenfreude toward a celebrity or a politician or an athlete, it's usually rooted in some type of fandom. You know, you hate Tom Brady because you're a Bills fan, or you hate the orange one because, you know, you're a liberal, or you hate some celebrity. But that kind of stuff doesn't bother me. But when it bothers me, and I'll talk about myself, it bothers my shameful joy bothers me when I direct it toward just regular people, like a friend or a family member, or, you know, someone like that. You know, when it comes to sports, there is like a particular team that I love to see lose because a friend of mine is such a die-hard fan of this team, and I find the person to be obnoxious. So I love when his team loses, because then I'll watch him. I'll like monitor him on social media all week, where he just bitches and whines about his team and complains. But when I direct it toward a regular schmo, as opposed to a politician or a celebrity or an athlete, that's when it gets sticky for me. But I was reading that psychologists say that having some, you know, Schadenfreude, some joy in others' misery. To a small extent, it's like normal. It's like part of the human condition. But when it's persistent in your life, that's when they suspect that it's some type of mental health issue, like an antisocial personality. And I do know people very well in my life who just, you know, their whole life is built on the misery of others.
Yeah, that's pretty, you know, not to get too psychology based, but I was trying to make connections with some of these dots. And, you know, in psychology, they have something called the shadow, or your, not your subconscious or your unconscious, but they call it the shadow, right? It's Carl Jung, the famous, if anyone wants to look it up. But the shadow is all the aspects of your personality that you know about that you don't like. So you keep it in the shadow. But you can be aware of it to a certain point, but a lot of people will just kind of shut their mind off to it or project it. You know, they'll say you project it on other people. But I think that's where, so where it goes to, and, you know, we started this discussion about fleshing out this topic with the idea of, you know, misery loving company. And what does that actually mean? Because you hear it, right? Oh, misery loves company. And, you know, I always wonder, like, okay, that's a fun little colloquialism, but what, you know, what is it based in? What's, you know, kind of like your brother, what's the etymology of this behavior, and why does it persist, or what does it really mean? And are people chronically, you know, what am I trying to say? What are people chronically, like, are they addicted to it? Like, they go around, and that's the lens they look at the world in, is like, I'm only happy if I can see misery in all these other bastards.
I think there's a difference between misery loves company and Schadenfreude. But it's funny you say that. You know, the whole legend of me being a passionate, having passionate hatred toward Mickey Rooney came as a result of someone trying to make me part of their misery. Because I got out of work one day and I went to this bar to meet a friend, and my friend was just having a shitty day, and I came in and I was like in a really good mood, and he said to himself, he literally, he told me, he's like, I was pissed off that day, and I didn't want you being around me in a good mood. So he was throwing all this shit at me at the bar. And he was like, your mother, this, you know, you're fat, blah, 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 just everything he could think of. And I'm like, nothing's getting me down. And, and the TV was on at this bar, and the TV all of a sudden flashed to this is to like CNN, and Mickey Rooney was on, and I just happened to say, I hate Mickey Rooney. And my friend just off the top of his head responded, you're Mickey Rooney. And I fucking physically attacked him. And he was like,
I can see that.
He was like, it was like that time the guy called me Goose at the Brick Bar.
I loved that time.
But, yeah, so I said, I hate Mickey Rooney, and my friend responded, you're Mickey Rooney, and I just physically attacked him, and he was like, where the fuck did that come from? And I was like, listen, I fucking hate Mickey Rooney. And that became legend then, but that was a result of, you know, he was miserable, and he wanted some company. You know, he wanted some company for his misery.
That's the same. I get some of your stories mixed up.
Yeah,
but wasn't there a guy that, like, you went to the bathroom at a bar, and then he put, like, chewing something on your beer bottle?
Yeah, that was at the same bar. I have a big phobia of gum, and I came back from the bathroom, and someone had stuck a piece of chewed up gum on the top of my beer bottle, and I fucking went nuts.
I mean, these don't These don't sound like good friends.
Well, it was people trying to take joy in my misery.
Yeah, and again, like for me, my Schadenfreude, especially as it gets more personal, I don't know that I could even call it that. It's just more, I think about sometimes like my family. You know, my assessment is that they just, they're too, I don't even know what the right word is, but they're just, they don't take care of themselves enough and they don't listen. Like, I'll put it this way. I've run 3 marathons and I would definitely say I'm above average to almost an expert in just the world of running. I've read a lot of books about it. I know I've had some injuries that I've had to recoup from. So I know quite a bit about it. And I was watching this person jogging. A person was pretty heavy set, was never an athlete, just slamming their feet on his treadmill.
Yeah.
Right? You could hear it all over the gym. And I tried to instruct the person. I'm like, listen, you got to slow down. I go, you know, I gave him a couple tips and they said, they told me, shut the fuck up. I didn't know what I was talking about. So at that point, you're just like, well, fuck you then. When you you, and I don't even know if that's Schadenfreude or if that's something else. But I remember thinking, like, wait till that fucking, you get like some kind of ACL tear. This person was like running really fast on a treadmill, cranking it up, thinking, well, if I run fast, then I don't have to run as long to get the same result. Now, those things are true. And you're an athlete and you work out to this day. But you also know how to take care of your body. And I was trying to help this person. And they're like, you know, basically, you're a fucking dumbass. You don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
that's that even qualifies.
I think it qualifies. But I think you can call it justified Schadenfreude. Because you tried to help the person. And the person didn't want to listen. Wanted to do it his way, which was the wrong way. And, you know, you kind of want him to learn a lesson. So if he fucks himself up, you know, of course you're going to take some joy in that.
I remember my dad telling me shit. Like, he's like, don't ever give people advice. And I was like, why? He was, because they won't take it. And then when they fuck up, they'll blame you. And I was like, well, that's really a negative way of looking at the world, Dad. And he's like, yeah, well, too bad.
Yeah, but
right. He knew what he was talking about.
He's right. You know, giving someone advice, no one wants advice. And that's something I learned, especially when I became a parent, you know, because from my end, I always hated other parents telling me, like, giving me advice on how to raise my children.
Oh, my God. And, yeah.
And so I just, you know, I was always very conscious of that. And I made sure to never repeat that to other people who are just, you know, beginning to have kids or shit like that. Like, so your old man was right.
Yeah. He knew a lot of good things. And he used to tell me too, like, never tell people how much you make, because then they'll come to you with their hand out.
I got to say, like, if I'm going to take advice from people, I'm way more accepting. I'm way more open to taking advice from blue collar workers, blue collar people like your father and my father, than I am some fucking clown like Jordan Peterson or someone like that. Like, you know, to me, people who just are these fucking ivory tower, never got their hands dirty, I just write that shit off. I'm more into figuring shit out for myself and experience, learning through experience and forming my own knowledge and
well, experimentation, right?
But the people like your father and my father, you know, steel worker, shit, like, these are people who have, like, to me, the greatest way to learn is to be knocked on your fucking ass. And, you know, or, you know, so, like, people like my father, they had this practical knowledge that applied, that, you know, that they learned, you know, through hands-on experience, or they learned firsthand. And I don't know. I just always personally found advice from blue collar workers to be a lot more usable than and practical than listening to like psychologists and shit like that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty tight-lipped with my kid. There are certain things I tell him, but I try to use like open-ended. Like, I don't specifically go, here, you should do this or you should do that. But I'll like open something up, and because he's asked me point blank, like, what should I be trying to take in college and stuff like that. And I'm like, you follow what, where your interests take you, buddy. You know, and develop the skills you like. And so far, you know, he'll take that, run with it.
But you, I do think, guide him, but.
Well, if he comes to me with a question, I mean, I'm not going to let him fuck up, but I definitely want him to have his own experiences, right?
Like, yeah, you could try to guide your kids or even someone or even other people, but you can't tell people what to do.
No, that's the way to get them, not unless you're fucking with them and you know, you tell them what to do knowing they'll do the opposite, and then you can laugh at them when they fuck up. That's pretty manipulative. I started reading, I know it's getting off topic, but like, I started reading more into this one psychology website I was on, and it started speaking. We'll get back on topic in a sec. I just wanted to bring it up because it's interesting. They called it the dark triad of traits, and you may have come across this too, but it's like narcissism, Machiavellianism, and psychopathy. So the one in the middle is, I'm like, I've never read anything about Machiavelli. I've heard the name, you know.
Yeah.
There's like a poem about him. But other than that, I don't know shit about the guy, other than he's kind of like a narcissist. But anyway, the dark triad, are, you know, again, you touched on it earlier. It's like we have a spectrum of emotions. We have a spectrum of behaviors. And if you find yourself in that dark corner of your mind, you know, that's where people got to kind of dig themselves back out, you know.
Well, like,
go ahead.
Shot again, like, as I was saying, when I was reading that psychologist said a degree of Schadenfreude is normal in everyone and it's part of the human condition, and it's when it's persistent that it's becomes a problem and a personality disorder. And you know, it's a commonplace, and every culture has like a different saying about it. And the Japanese have a saying that I found funny, but like,
you know,
it went to show me how universal this feeling is amongst people. But they have a saying that the misfortune of others tastes like honey.
You know what? I got to tell you this quick story. I was on a plane one time, okay? This is kind of fucked up. I flew to Buffalo from New York City for work. Got hammered with all my buddies. Had to take like a 6 o'clock flight back to Jersey, okay? Get off the plane. I get a taxi home to Hoboken. I'm like almost gagging, like my head is pounding. I'm in a lot of pain, okay? Hungover as shit, sweating, you know, I smell bad, whatever. Pack a bag, I have to go back to the airport and fly to California and then go to wine country to meet my wife. So anyway, I get on the plane to go to California and I'm just like, my head is just thumping. And plane loads up, and I'm all by myself in three seats. So I'm like, oh God, thank you. So I lay down, and I'm gonna at least sleep and try to get my head to stop pounding. All of a sudden, I start to fall asleep. Plane hasn't even taken off yet. Some fucking big guy like grabs my shoulder and like shakes me. He's like, sir, you need to share the seats with other people. This is like Southwest, so there wasn't like assigned seating. So I'm like, fuck you. And I look, and it's like this big guy. So I'm like, I'm not going to tell him to fuck off. So I just like, I just roll up in a ball against the window. And he acted like he was like one of the flight attendants. And I'm like, that asshole. So anyway, long story longer, they're serving us now, and he gets this cup of coffee, and the fucking flight attendant spills the hot coffee all over him. It's a true story. And I just look at him, and it was so hard not to laugh, but I actually pretended to show compassion to him, even though I fucking wanted this guy to, like, I was hoping his crotch was on fire. So I don't know. I mean, that's the end of the story, but, like, I did take a lot of happiness in his pain.
Yeah.
And all he did was ask me to move the fuck over.
Well, there was someone who blew by me on the road a couple weeks ago, and the person did it very aggressively. You know, and he, when they passed me, they were acting like, you know, I was an old grandmother behind the wheel, and yeah. And then I got like 4 miles further down the road, and the person was pulled over on the side of the road.
Yes.
And so I drove by and I was beeping my horn, you know, and like celebration. But again, that's like a justified
schadenfreude.
But you know, but then I consider when I have that feeling toward others, and when other people have that feeling towards others, and I try to think about like, well, why is that, you know? And like, you know, some of it's justified sometimes, but then other times it's like it's a sign of insecurity, or like, you know, we're unhappy with ourselves, or we just simply hate the other person, or we're jealous of the other person. And, you know,
that's where it gets more personal, to your point.
What's that?
Well, that's like when it's directed at a person, you know, or like a family member or a loved one.
Yeah.
I mean, that's when it gets probably in the realm of, you know, behavior patterns that are not good for you, or toxicity.
I think we're all going to have that. But I think when it happens, you got to stop and ask yourself why that is. And, you know,
well, another rat hole,
maybe
it
serves
necessary because it helps you. You know, you got to remember that we're fucking animals, or as Nietzsche said, that man is a tightrope between, you know, God and the fucking animal. Right. I mean, we're the most domesticated animal out there. So where I'm going is, like, we have this furious rage that's part of our animal side, that like things like that, like you saw that guy getting his ticket and it immediately calmed you down. You're happy now. Like dopamine was racing around your body and you could relax instead of like, I want to fucking kill that guy. Now you're like, haha, I'm happy now. So maybe it's a necessary component. You know what I'm saying?
Right. It serves a purpose. I mean, I think I was getting to. It was like, it serves a purpose in some way, whether it calms you down or whether it forces you to look at yourself and ask yourself why you're feeling that way toward others. And, you know, it ultimately,
I mean, I sure feel better watching that guy clean the hot coffee off his pants. Actually, my headache went away and I was like, oh, I feel fine now.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to take some schadenfreude this afternoon around 4 o'clock. In the misery of Jets fans, if the Bills win.
Yeah. Let me ask you one quick question, then we'll go. Do you gamble on football or any of these? I've been thinking about DraftKings and doing some of this gambling.
I don't. I think about it, but I never do. Nah.
Fair enough.
I might do it here. I might do it at some point this season, either on football or on hockey. But you know, I'm not a sports geek. So other than just betting straight on like a team that I think is going to win, like I don't pay attention to stats and analytics and things like that. It takes all the fun out of sports for me, which, you know, sports is just an escape. But you know, and I'm not a big gambler, so, but some people, more and more people are doing it. And some of the people that I know that are doing it are surprising me. They don't strike me as that type of, you know, personality that would do it, but it's becoming such a popular thing. And we did a show on that.
Yep.
on gambling and on the advertising around sports. And but no,
I hated it back in the day, and I had to work in Las Vegas, so I had to go there all the time for work, and I hated the casinos. I hated walking through them, watching people. My favorite was always like, you know, the tourists at like midnight that had grandma and their little babies, and they're all sitting around dad with the one-armed bandit. I mean, it's if you want to go and feel depressed, you go into some low-end casinos and watch people gamble their life savings.
Well, there's one near my house. There's one near my house, and every now, like, I go there like once every 2 months for about an hour and just end the night playing slots for a kick, but nothing serious, you know. Nothing serious. I don't drop a lot of money at all, but it's just like I'll go there once in a while for something to do. But yeah, those are some of those people I take Schadenfreude in because I just think they're so stupid, you know.
Hey, that's what Atlantic City was built on, those dreams. All right, big dog. Well, listen, this is a good topic.
Go Bills!
Enjoy the rest of your weekend. No, or if you won't, maybe you'll feel miserable and I'll enjoy it.
Go Bills. Go Bills. Right, bye. Stay free.